It is a blessing to be assembled to worship God and to look forward to that day in which we'll gather around the throne and sing that new song. David, I appreciate the songs you've chosen and the manner in which they've been led. Appreciate everyone's participation so far. And now we have an opportunity to open up God's Word and consider a portion of it and its application to our lives. And as we've been working our way through the last few weeks, the members here know that we are in the process of searching for and appointing additional elders. If you're visiting with us, we're so thankful that you've come our way. Hope that you'll come back and be with us again the next time you have opportunity. But want you to be aware that we are in that process and we are utilizing the Sunday morning worship hour and the sermons for the Sunday morning worship hour to help us through this process. And that's certainly the case today. We are going to begin looking at the qualifications of an elder, answering the question, who can serve as an elder? Last week we pointed out the fact that the members of the congregation need to select the men to be considered to serve as additional elders. But not just anyone can be an elder. There are qualifications. And so for the next 2 weeks we are going to look at qualifications. I'll be out of town for a couple of weeks, but then the following week we'll wrap that up with a third and final study of the qualifications of elders. If you have a copy of last week's bulletin, of course, that schedule is on the front page of the bulletin. I've also posted it in the foyer on the bulletin board out in the foyer, and I've taped a copy of it to my office door down the hallway in case you wander down there and happen to wonder, what's this rotation again, or what is this plan again that we're going to use? It's posted there as well. I and the elders both want every member to not only be involved, but to know what's going on as we go through this process. Let's start this morning by simply reading the two passages of Scripture where these qualifications are found. We are going to go through them topically, not verse by verse, but topically, but I want to begin by reading both text from where these qualifications are taken. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to read Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul writes to Timothy and says, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." In Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, "If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Now, these are the qualifications that are set forth by the Holy Spirit in these passages. And over the course of the next 3 weeks that I'm with you, we're going to take a look at every one of these. But this morning, we are going to begin by looking at the qualifications that have to do with a man's character. We're going to look at the physical qualifications at the very end. That is, he's a man, he has to be married, have faithful children. We're going to discuss those physical qualifications at the last. But today we're going to start with the qualifications that have to do with a man's character. As we go through these and as we study these, I want you to realize what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. It is giving us a list, if you will, that we can work by as we consider the men here who we would select to be considered, to be appointed as additional elders. Do these men presently meet these qualifications? Now, these aren't suggestions. These aren't areas in which, well, I see the potential for this man to grow into this quality. No. We're looking for men who presently meet these qualifications that are set forth. I want to take a look, as I've said, I want to take a look at some of these today that have to do with character. We're going to start with the word blameless. This is found in both lists, and it is one of the first qualifications that has to do with character found in both of these lists. The New American Standard Version and the English Standard Version render this characteristic as being above reproach. Now, blameless, we understand, cannot mean sinless perfection. Because if that was the case, no one could qualify to serve as an elder. And I hope that we can understand that and appreciate that. But what I've seen done in the past is for an individual that does not want elders to be appointed, does not want to be under the authority of elders, or does not want a particular person to serve as an elder over them, they'll go to this qualification and try to point out a sin in their life and say, see, they're not blameless. There's a sin there. Well, all of us have sin in our life. Obviously, that's not what's being spoken of here. That's not the qualification that is under consideration here. It is translated, this word blameless, or the phrase above reproach, is translated from a Greek word that means literally that cannot be laid hold of. That is, here's an individual that doesn't have an obvious fault sticking out that you can get a hold of it. That's the idea here. Another definition of this word, it signifies that which cannot be called into account with nothing laid to one's charge as the result of public investigation. Doesn't mean sinless perfection, but it means here's an individual that we simply cannot find something to hold against him. I think about Daniel in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Remember, Daniel was being promoted, and those over whom he was being promoted, they were threatened by that, and they wanted to get rid of Daniel. It says, so the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Now that's the kind of man that we're looking for. Not one who is perfect, but one who is faithful. One who lives his life in such a way that it's hard to find something to hold against the individual. That's the idea there behind blameless. Blameless with regard to what? Well, let's continue to read these qualifications. And that's the area in which he is to be blameless. The next that we're going to look at is actually a grouping together of some qualifications that are very similar in nature. And we'll do that as we progress through these two passages a number of times. And we have from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 and Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, we have that an elder must be temperate, he must be sober-minded, and he must be self-controlled. These words are somewhat related in meaning. Other translations use words such as vigilant, sober, prudent, and sensible. Well, what do these qualifications mean? Well, let's look at the first one. Temperate, or the King James Version says vigilant. Here's an individual, here's a man who is watchful, who is circumspect. That is, he has his eyes open and he sees what's going on around about him. His head isn't stuck in the sand. Ignorance isn't bliss for him. He knows what's going on around about him. He is one who is of a state of mind which is free from the excessive influence of passion, lust, or emotion. He's alert. Being sober-minded, King James Version says prudent, New American Standard Version says sensible. Here's someone who is self-disciplined and self-restrained. They have mental and emotional balance among themselves. Sober-minded, that they are alert. They have full use of their faculties. They know what is going on. Then along with that is the idea of being self-controlled, or the King James Version says temperate. Here's a man who has power over himself. Here's a man who can control himself as opposed to allowing himself to be controlled by other things. Now together these words describe a man with a balanced mind. He is reasonable in his attitude and his thinking and his behavior. He's not given to extremes. You know somebody like that? They react in extreme ways one way or another. No, an elder is more of a middle, down the middle of the road type of individual when it comes to how he reacts to things. An elder is to be one who is not controlled by his emotions but can hold himself in check. One who is alert and focused and not easily fooled by other people. Remember, part of the work of an elder is to pastor or to shepherd. And a pastor or a shepherd in taking care of others has to have this ability to keep themselves in control and control how they respond to situations. These qualifications help us to see something about the character of the man that we would be selecting and appointing as an elder over us here at Knollwood. Another qualification that we have in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 is that the elder be a man of good behavior. This qualification is translated, the New American Standard Version and English Standard Version say respectable. But this is translated from the Greek word kosmios. It is a word that means orderly, well-arranged, or decent. It is the word from which we get our English word cosmetology. And it has to do with the well-ordering of one's appearance or one's face, cosmetics. It also is the word from which we get the English word cosmos, which talks about the universe which operates in an orderly fashion. The word appears before this in 1 Timothy at chapter 2 and at verse 9, when it says that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. So it is the word that is also translated as modest. And the idea there is that everything is appropriate. Everything is well arranged. Again, nothing is standing out or drawing undue attention to this individual. When thinking about a man serving as an elder, this word describes one whose life is well organized and well balanced and blended together. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3 tells us that elders are to be examples unto the flock. And a man of good behavior is a man who is a good example of what it means to be a Christian, of what it means to be a husband and a father, of a neighbor, of an employee, and the list could go on and on. A person who is not of good behavior, obviously, is not a good example. And so as we're looking for men who will serve as elders here, along with Mike and along with John, we're looking for men who you could summarize or you could characterize them as being men of good behavior. They're good examples for us to follow. Their lives are well and orderly. And that's what we're looking for with this qualification. The fourth one that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, as well as Titus 1 and verse 9, is that an elder must be given to hospitality. In the King James Version of Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, it says that he must be a lover of hospitality. I have an article in the bulletin today, on the inside of the bulletin today, on the word hospitality. And there's a lot there in the bulletin that we could put into this point in the sermon. I'll let you take the bulletin home and read it and study it. Talking about hospitality, not so much as a qualification of elders, but as something that is given to all of us as Christians to do and to practice. But the word hospitality comes from a Greek word that literally means a love of strangers. Now today, when we think about practicing hospitality, we think about having some friends over to our house for dinner, right? We're going to open up our home and we're going to have some friends over. Or we're going to spend some time with some people that we know. Or we've got a friend that's coming in from out of town and they're going to stay in our home for a couple of days. We have to admit that most of us, when we think of hospitality, that's what we think of. And while that is hospitality for us in our day and time today, as you study the Scriptures, you see that in Bible times, hospitality had to do with entertaining strangers. And I pointed it out in the article, there weren't a lot of inns, there weren't a lot of places where people who were traveling could stay. And so it was pretty much a universal custom that if strangers came your way and needed lodging, you provided lodging for them. And thus, the meaning of the word literally is a love of strangers. Well, how does that apply to the qualifications of an elder? We're looking for men who qualify to serve as elders here. What about this particular qualification? Someone might look at that, say, given the hospitality, and say, you know what? He's never had me in his house. I don't think he's given the hospitality. I've never seen the inside of his house. I don't know about that. Let's back up and let's look at hospitality in the biblical context. It was helping those who were strangers. It was caring enough about somebody to provide for their needs and to help them. That's what we're looking for with this qualification. We're looking for men who have exhibited already, not someone who has the potential to do it, but for men who already exhibit that quality of caring about other people and doing what they can to help other people. And in this qualification is one of them where there is of particular interest at the family, the wife and the children. Are they willing to help with this? Do they have an interest in helping others as well? It's hard to, a house divided will fall. It's hard for one spouse to want to do something, the other one to be dead set against it. It's hard for that to be accomplished. So we're looking also at a wife who cares about others, children that care about others. But when we talk about giving to hospitality, we're not talking about, has he had me over to his house? We're talking about, is this a man who has a readiness and a willingness to help other people? That's the idea behind that qualification. The fifth one is not given to wine. This is from both lists, from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, and from Titus chapter 1, and at verse 7. The New American Standard Version renders this as not addicted to wine. The English Standard Version says not a drunkard. The Greek word from which it's translated literally means one who tarries at the wine or one who stays at the wine. Now we could look at the definition here of this Greek word, one who tarries, one who stays, one who's there and continually drinks. We could look at the New American Standard rendering or the English Standard rendering of one who's addicted or one who is drunk, and we could walk away from this qualification and say, well, as long as he doesn't get drunk, then I guess it's okay for him to serve as an elder. And I want to spend a few moments on that. As we look at this qualification, does this qualification require abstinence, abstaining from all alcohol, or is it just moderation that is required? Somebody that knows how to control themselves. Let's take a look at this. Number one, what about an occasional drink? What about social drinking as we look for men who are qualified to serve as elders? Number one, we've already pointed out the fact that an elder has to be sober, that he has to be temperate, and that he has to be vigilant. An elder is one who has to be watchful. He has to be alert. Let's remember the responsibility of an elder to watch out for the souls of others, to be on guard and to watch for wolves who would come in and who would make wreck of the flock of God. The requirement of sobriety and being sober and being temperate and the nature of the work the elders do tells us that they do not need to be touching alcohol. Studies show very clearly that alcohol begins to impair an individual after the first drink. After the first drink of alcohol, sobriety begins to diminish. So we've got the requirement of sobriety, temperance, and vigilance, and we've got studies that show alcohol diminishes that with the very first drink. So what do you think? You think it's allowing moderation, or is it abstinence? We know 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be held under the power of anything. Well, lives have been ruined by the addictive nature of alcohol. Alcohol is addictive. And when one becomes addicted to alcohol, they do come under its power. And so here is a liquid. Here is something that exists that has the power to bring us under its control, to cause us to be addicted to it. Do you think it's okay for us to enjoy it in moderation, or is it best to leave it completely alone? An elder needs to be one who does not touch the stuff, does not touch that which has the power to bring him under its control. Alcohol is addictive. Also, number three, the Bible teaches that an elder is a leader. And in the book of Isaiah, there are two occasions in which God condemns the leaders of Israel because they were given to wine and intoxicating drink. That's in Isaiah 28, verse 7, and Isaiah 56, verses 9 through 12. So in the Old Testament, God condemned the leaders of His people because they were given to alcohol, they were given to wine and intoxicating drink. Why wouldn't that be equally true in the New Testament for the leaders of God's people? Again, here's the Scriptures telling us, don't touch it. Leave it alone. And then finally, we've already pointed out the fact that 1 Peter 5, verse 3, an elder is to be an example to the flock, an example to the Christians who are under his charge. Even if someone could make the argument that an elder can control his drinking, a man can control his drinking, the use of alcohol sets a poor example to others. It supports an industry which destroys people's lives. And while it may be true that a man serving as an elder can control his liquor, what if he has a new convert into his home or goes out to eat with them and that new convert sees them consuming alcohol, thinks, well, an elder can do it. Surely I can do it. Next thing you know, he's addicted. He's an alcoholic. You know that elder is going to be held accountable for that by God. An elder has to be a man who sets forth the best possible example. So, as we look at this qualification, not given to wine, not addicted to wine, not a drunkard, does that allow for moderation or is it abstinence? And the Scriptures teach abstinence. We're looking for men who don't use alcohol in any amount, who don't allow themselves to come under the influence of any drug or any substance. We're looking for men who are sober-minded. This qualification requires abstinence. And this morning, the last one we'll look at is this grouping together of these various qualifications of not being violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not quick-tempered. And these are taken from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 and Titus chapter 1 and at verse 7. The first one is not violent. King James Version uses the word striker. And that's exactly what this word means. Someone who likes to fight. Someone who likes to hit. Someone who is abusive, not just in their actions, but also with their words. Now, a person like that can't serve as an elder. A person that has that mindset, that has that quality or that characteristic, someone who's ready to fight, who's prone to fighting, who enjoys fighting, someone who takes offense very easily, this kind of a man is not going to make for peace in a congregation. He's certainly going to produce strife, not just in the congregation, but within the eldership itself. We need to remember that shepherds gently lead the flock. They don't drive them with a whip. So we're looking at a man, what is his temperament? Instead of being violent or being a striker, we're looking for men who are gentle. The King James Version uses the word patient. This is the ability to look humanely and reasonably at the facts of a case, to consider the greater needs of an individual or a situation. The reason we need to look at this qualification and consider it is because men are by and large different than women. Men are notorious for being cut and dry. We're like who was the guy on Dragnet? Just the facts. Well, we just want the facts. We're problem solvers. Men notoriously are problem solvers. If it's broken, you give me a hammer and I'll fix it, right? If it's broken, let me fix it. Well, that works fine when you're talking about your dishwasher or your refrigerator in your house. But elders are dealing with people. And people are not as easily fixed as a washing machine or as a refrigerator. Elders have to deal with the human element. So elders have to be men who can show some sympathy, who can show some patience, and who can show some gentleness and some kindness. There are some times when elders are going to have to take the sword of the Spirit and attack. But there are also times when elders have to be capable of gently applying the balm of Gilead to the members who are hurting. You know, as a shepherd, an elder needs to be able to drive away the wolf, but then needs to be able to turn and to mend the sheep who have been hurt by the wolf. And so an elder has to be one that has that strength, has that resolve to take a stand when it is needed, but also has the ability to be kind and compassionate and helpful. It doesn't mean that an elder overlooks sin or error, but that an elder knows how to best deal with each situation in a way that preserves the individual, that brings them to repentance. That's what we're looking for in the men that we are considering to serve as elders. We continue on, an elder cannot be quarrelsome. King James Version says not a brawler. New American Standard Version says uncontentious. Again, here's somebody who doesn't want to fight. Fighting is not their first reaction. It's not what they enjoy doing. It's not what they like doing. Here's somebody who is at peace with himself, at peace with God. Here's a person who knows how to contend for the faith without being contentious. You and I both know individuals that if we had to summarize them in one word, we could say they're contentious people. They're people that like to fight, they like to argue, they like to debate, they're contentious people. There are people like that. They can't serve as elders. They're not qualified to serve as elders. So we're looking at somebody who is a peacemaker, who knows how to use the sword of the Spirit, but whose first inclination is to make for peace. Not quarrelsome and not quick-tempered. The King James Version says, not soon angry. And of course, here we're looking for a person that doesn't have a short fuse. We all know people that blow up very easily. They get upset, they get angry, and they explode in anger very quickly. And such a person simply is not qualified to serve as an elder. These words, not quick-tempered, not soon angry, is one who's not prone to anger, not irritable, not touchy, not testy, not grouchy. These words all have to do with an elder's emotional temperament. An elder has to be approachable. Think about that. The members need to be able to approach elders and talk with them about things that are important. And if a man has shown his characteristic is to explode at the least bit provocation, he's not going to be approachable. Members aren't going to want to go to him, aren't going to be able to go to him to get the help that they need. So the Holy Spirit says he can't be one that has a quick temper. Now, anger across the board is not condemned in this passage. Our Lord showed righteous indignation, did he not? When he made that whip out of cords and drove men out of the temple. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 4, verse 26, we are to be angry but not sin. And an elder, a man who serves as an elder, needs to know how to walk that line. Needs to know how to be angry and how to express his anger without sinning. Those are the men that we're looking for to serve this congregation as elders. You know, it'd be easy to understand the importance of these qualifications. Imagine, as we look at the words that are grouped together here under this heading, imagine what kind of a congregation it would be if the men who served as the leaders of the congregation were violent. They weren't kind and gentle, but they were quarrelsome and they were angry men. We wouldn't want to follow. We wouldn't want to serve under those kind of leaders. We wouldn't want to follow that kind of leadership. We wouldn't want to be a member here underneath those kind of elders. So we can see the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in setting forth these particular qualifications. An elder must be a man who will contribute to the peace of the local church and who will uphold the peace within the local church. And this is all that we're going to look at today. You've noticed I've got part one. Lord willing, we'll finish looking at the qualifications that have to do with a man's character next Sunday morning. And then the physical qualifications we'll look at a few weeks after that. What are we looking for here at Knollwood as we're going forward with this process? We're looking for men to become a part of an already existing eldership. We're looking for those who are blameless, not sinless perfection, but we're looking for those men who don't have any obvious glaring faults sticking out in their life. We're looking for those who are temperate, sober-minded, self-controlled. They can control themselves. They're alert to what's going on. Those who are of good behavior and thus will set a good example. Those who are given the hospitality, which remember means they care about other people and they help other people, not given to wine. They abstain from wine and from things that alter their minds. And they are peaceable men, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not quick-tempered. That's what we're looking for as we look for elders. But I want to tell you, I want to consider two more things, and then the lesson will be yours. Yes, it's true that at this point in time, these are the qualities that we're looking for in men that we can appoint to serve as elders. But I want to ask, do you see anything on this list that doesn't apply to every Christian? These are qualities of a child of God. What we're looking for in elders are men who have been at it long enough that they've got these qualities as a part of their life. But all of us, men and women, need to be looking at developing all of these qualities in our lives. Secondly, there are a lot of young men here who are not ready to serve as elders. Someday, you're going to be called upon to serve as an elder. But if you wait till then to become qualified, you won't be qualified. As we're going through this study, and we're looking at the qualifications of elders, and you're looking at other men, older men, I want you to also be considering yourself and going through and saying, is that me? Am I preparing myself to be an elder someday when I'm going to be called upon to do so? You young wives, there's qualifications for an elder's wife. But are you encouraging also your husband to develop these qualities in his life so that he can be qualified to serve in the greatest capacity that God has given anyone to serve, and that is as a servant, as an elder in the Lord's church? I want us to be thinking about all these things as we go through this process. I realize that these sermons are out of necessity because we have the goal before us of finding and appointing qualified men to serve as elders. But at the same time, we are assembled together worshiping God, and the invitation of our Lord always sounds forth. So we want to extend the invitation this Lord's Day morning. Perhaps you've noticed as we've looked at these qualifications that God is very serious about His church and very serious about the kind of men who lead in this church. And if God is so serious about the church that He's provided for this kind of leadership, and He's so serious that He's provided the perfect Savior, Jesus Christ, do you not see that God takes you seriously? That He loves you and that He wants you to be right with Him? He's provided a way for you to be forgiven of your sins. And that is through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the gospel has been preached. It's been preserved in the Word of God. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you need to respond in that faith by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith before others, and allowing us to baptize you in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Not because we've made that requirement up, but because you can find it in your Bible yourself. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Yes, we're looking to appoint additional elders here, but that doesn't mean we're not also looking to help people become Christians and obey the gospel. If you need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing this song.